On behalf of Bishop Kelly and Bishop Sante and all the priests and the sisters and the seminarians, I'd like to wish everyone a very happy and holy new year. The epistle appointed to be read for the circumcision of our Lord is taken from the epistle of Titus chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God, our Savior, hath appeared to all men, instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Holy Gospel, it's taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus, which was called by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. As far as the words of today's Holy Gospel. And after 8 days were accomplished, that the child should be circumcised, his name was called Jesus. Words taken from today's Gospel, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. But dear faithful, there is an interesting story about a general of a king's army. This certain general wanted to rule the entire land which belonged to his king, over which he was in charge of. And so the general rose up against his master with a large number of soldiers, and both he and his warriors relentlessly attacked the king. The battle lasted a long time, but finally the rebel general was defeated. Soon after, he was conquered. He fled into another country, and there he remained with his wife and children. And this former general, now a rebel, was very unhappy in exile because of the shame which he had brought upon not only himself, but his family as well. And as time went by, his guilt led him to repent of his rebellion. And he decided to seek the forgiveness of the king. And so he dressed himself in the clothes of a beggar, and he went back to the king's palace. On arriving there, he entered the massive hall where the king held audience, and he then walked to the throne of the king. However, he did not approach the king by himself. He was not alone, for in his arms he carried the child of the king himself. And the son of the king was just 2 years old. And when he arrived near the throne of the king, the rebel general knelt there at the feet of his king. In a clear and humble voice, the old general said, "Your Majesty, I am the general who fought against you and wanted to take your life." And there was an immediate silence throughout the hall. He then continued, "I, as well as my wife and children, deserve to be put to death for my crime. But for the sake of this, your little boy, whom you love, I beg you to spare me and my family." There was nothing but silence throughout the walls of the palace. Everybody was waiting to hear what the king would answer, when suddenly the king arose with a stern look in his face, and he began to speak. And the king said, "Yes, You deserve to be put to death together with your wife and children because you have been a traitor. But because you ask me to spare your life for the sake of my little son, I cannot refuse your request. For I love my son, and I cannot refuse him anything. And the king concluded his judgment, saying, for his sake then, I not only pardon you and your wife and children, but I shall also bring you all back to my palace to live with me in even greater honor than you had before. My dear faithful, in the gospel for today, we read one of the perhaps shortest gospels. It is of the circumcision of our blessed Lord. St. Luke writes that after 8 days, the child Jesus was circumcised. And under the old law, the rite of circumcision was always performed by the father of the child. And so in the case of our Lord, it was St. Joseph who performed the sacred rite. And he did this, of course, 8 days after our blessed Savior was born in the stable at Bethlehem. And when the divine child underwent circumcision, he shed his blood for the very first time. This shedding of the divine blood during the circumcision was sufficient for the redemption of the entire world. But it was not sufficient to gain the hearts of men. It was not an action which would win the love of mankind. And that is why our blessed Lord went through his passion and death, to go to that great length to prove his love for man, that he might be loved by those for whom he sacrificed his life. And thus our Lord, in sacrificing himself on the cross, offered up all, every last drop of his blood to his Almighty Father, whereas at the circumcision he shed only some of his precious blood. The sacrifice of our Lord on the cross was a true sacrifice because it fulfilled all the requirements that are necessary for a sacrifice. The word sacrifice comes from two Latin words, sacrum and facere, which means to make holy. And thus, those who assist at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, those are made holy. The term sacrifice can be considered in a twofold manner. And you can look at it in a figurative sense and a true and perfect manner. When you consider sacrifice in a figurative sense, we are talking about the offering of a gift to God. That alone, the offering of a gift to God. And in this sense, prayer is a sacrifice. Doing acts of mortification, the giving of alms, perhaps, these are also offerings to God, or as we call them, sacrifices, in the figurative sense. In the book of Scripture, the book of Ecclesiasticus, it refers to this, where it says, he that doth mercy offereth sacrifice. That is talking about the figurative sense of sacrifice. The second way in which the term sacrifice is considered, can be looked at, is in the true and proper sense. There are four things which are required for a sacrifice in the true and proper sense of the word. And the holy sacrifice of the Mass has, as it is a true and proper sacrifice, all four of these requirements. The first requirement for a sacrifice is a sacrificial gift. In other words, it is the victim. You have to have a victim for the sacrifice. And in the Mass, the sacrificial gift is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he offers himself through the ministry of the priest to God the Father, God Almighty. He offers himself, that is, his body and blood, his soul and divinity, under the appearances of the Mass, the appearances of bread and wine, which we see during the Mass. And thus the priest is the instrument by which Calvary is renewed on our altar. The priest, then, is the second requirement for a true sacrifice. He is called the sacrificial minister. You have the third requirement, which is called the sacrificial action. You see, the essence of sacrifice consists in the external offering of a sacrificial gift. And this implies that the gift to be offered must be in some manner transformed. This is what happens during the consecration of the Mass, when the bread and wine undergo the transubstantiation into the very body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a sacrificial action. The fourth requirement necessary for a sacrifice is the sacrificial end, or the object. In other words, you can ask yourself, what would be the essential, what would be the main idea of sacrifice when you talk about sacrifice? What is that idea? And it can be nothing other than our complete surrender to God. The total submission of our wills to God for the purpose of being united with him. The surrender to God, this surrender happens in the Mass when the sacrifice of Calvary is renewed and we recognize God's dominion over us. One author defines sacrifice as an external offering of a sensible gift which is destroyed, or at least submitted to an appropriate transformation by an authorized minister in recognition of God's supreme dominion. This definition contains all four requirements for sacrifice in its true and proper sense. Because the object offered is our Lord Jesus Christ, his body and blood, the one suffering is our Lord himself through the priest. His body and blood are offered for sin, and he is offered to the Heavenly Father. My dear faithful, the Mass is an infinite sacrifice. It is an infinite sacrifice because the victim, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the God-man. The Mass, as a sacrifice, is the renewal of the passion of our Lord. Here on our altar, or wherever a priest says Mass on that altar, is renewed the cruel agony, the suffering our Lord underwent with the scourges, his torturous raising upon the cross, his entire passion. The Mass is not just a commemoration. It is not a mere memorial. The Mass is the renewal of Calvary. And when you attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, strive to attend the Mass with great devotion. When you assist at Mass, try to attend Mass not just more devoutly, which we should do, with every single Mass we attend, but to attend a Mass with an even greater devotion. You know, if we strive to be aware of what is really taking place on the altar, then we will find, over time, ourselves assisting at Mass more devoutly and reverently even. We have the privilege to attend the renewal of the infinite sacrifice of Christ on the cross, the shedding of all his precious blood. How our Lord ended desire to end his life. He ended it by shedding every last drop of his blood for our salvation. That is why he was born. He was born to die. And just as he began his life by shedding a few drops of his precious blood for us, St. Alphonse de Liguori says that it was done, the circumcision that is, to pay the penalties which we have deserved. Because it was sufficient to ransom mankind, that action performed by St. Joseph, because it was a sacrifice. However, it was not sufficient to gain the love of our souls. It was not enough. We would not have remembered it. Our Lord sacrificed his life for us on the cross so that we would remember it, and this sacrifice, which he has given to us in the Mass, is a daily renewal of that great action. And therefore, the Mass demands our utmost devotion and respect. So let us, my dear people, to strive every time we assist at the Mass to be devout, to truly think about who is there on the altar, to be respectful to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, because it is truly what our Lord looks for in his faithful children. No, the king in the story did not refuse his son anything. He was there in the arms of his former rebel general. And who knows what would have happened, what would have been the sentence if that general had approached the king by himself. Maybe he and his wife and children would never have been forgiven. Maybe it would have been delayed for some time. But we do know that because he had the king's child in his arms, he was moved. He was moved by compassion to forgive him. How much more so, Almighty God, infinitely perfect, is willing to accept the death of his son on the cross as atonement for the sins of the world. Let us then thank our Lord by having a greater appreciation for the holy sacrifice of the Mass, especially now as we start another year and begin to make a New Year's resolution. Perhaps let us make one of them to assist at Holy Mass with a greater love and devotion for our Lord. May God bless you, and may you have a very happy and holy New Year. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Thank you.